November 7th, Vajra Mahasyam class, we're discussing the text 8. And this is a series of verses where Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains how to engage in the service of Krishna in the mood of a Manjari, Manjari Bhav. Hey, Evam, this is a verse from 11th canto, Uddhava Gita. Evam vritasva priyanama kirtya jat anarago jutta chitta uche hasatyato roditi roti gayat hyun maravan nityati lokabhaya. This describes a premi bhakti's behavior. Because this chapter is prem nam bhajan, we heard a few instructions that we as sadhakas can try to follow to help us come to the level of prema. And now he's specifically explaining his symptoms, Premi's symptoms of union, the Premi Bhakta's behavior, what he experiences and how he responds to that rising of love in his heart. He sings the names of his dear Krishna, or singing the particular names of that form of Krishna that are very dear to him. That's what it means. Swapriya nama kirtya, by the fire of anxiety to see Krishna, his fire of anxiety becomes like a river of rose apple juice. And a devotee on the platform of prema, he doesn't care about public opinion because he's absorbed in Krishna. What people think and how he looks, what he says. Sometimes the term is used, avadut. Persons like avadut, he's not following standard behavior. When a person fixed in his vow, evam vrata, and has come to the stage of a great loving attachment to Krishna as a result of chanting his favorite names, his mind and heart melt, and he loudly cries, shouts, and sings, even dancing like a madman, without a care for what anyone thinks. Of course, this sometimes they say that a self-realized soul and a fool, you can't tell the difference. Because someone may be actually a fool and he's intoxicated by liquor and he sings and dances without caring about public opinion. He's dancing down the street shouting out the names of his favorite girlfriend. So people consider he's a madman. So a mad fool and someone who's mad in prema of love of God may look similar. Vishnath gives a commentary. In this verse, he says, when a devotee attains the fruit of devotion through assiduous practices, he begins to act in ways that are outside the normal behaviors of a person absorbed in the duties of material life. Evam vrata supriya nama kirtya. The word evam vrataha, it means his devotee is fixed in vows of devotional service and practice. In order to show that amongst such practices, the singing of Krishna's names is supreme, he next says, Supriya Nama Kirtya. This can mean singing the names of his dear Krishna, or singing the particular names of Krishna that are dear to him. So this is a nice explanation here. Supriya Nama. Because sometimes people think that this means that you pick out some priyanam, some favorite name of Krishna, Radhika Nath or Govinda or Gopinath, and you're on the stage of prema and you'll just all day long say Govinda, 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 Govinda. But he also says that it's singing the names of his dear Krishna. Swapriya means my dear. Swapriyanama Krishna. Names of my dear Krishna. So the names of my dear Krishna may be the names that those names that we chant in prema may be the same names we've chanted throughout our life. As a sadhaka, we're chanting Hare Krishna, and we may be attained to the level of prema and still chant Hare Krishna. But now Krishna is very dear to us. He's our mat prananatastu sevanapara. He's the Lord of our life. He's our prananath. He's our everything, our priyatam. He's the topmost, dearmost person to us. And we don't particularly feel inspired to chant any other name. Gopinath, Gopinath, Govinda, Govinda. As a sadhaka, we may chant Hare Krishna. As a premi, we may chant Hare Krishna. I've heard of Prem Nam Sankirtan. So he makes a nice distinction, because generally, and this verse is presented in BBT, that one will chant the names, his dear names, that are those that are dear to him individually. The devotee may be a lover of Krishna's Giridhari, so he's just closing his eyes and he's dancing Giridhari, Giridhari, like this. Giridhari, Giridhari. And some people, they wander around Braj and they're very much inclined towards Radharani. They chant Radhe, Radhe. They're Gaudiya Vaishnavas and they have Japamala, and generally they chant the Maha Mantra. But they may become Rasik Pagal. They may become crazy with their intense love for Radharani. And they genuinely can't see or think of chanting any other name but that. Maybe they even abandon chanting on their mala. If they're just avadhuts and they aren't acharyas per se, they're just wandering as Madhukari Bhavas. Radhe, 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 Radhe. And people look and they say, oh, the man is mad. And he's just chanting Radhe, Radhe. Mad, he may be mad. But Vishnu says more. When the devotee experiences the awakening of love for Krishna through such chanting, his mind melts like gold in the fire of his anxiety to see Krishna. Suddenly he gets a vision or a spurti of Krishna. Perhaps seeing him as a child about to steal butter from some older gopi's kitchen. And he sees Krishna being chased by that elder gopi who is yelling at Krishna, "Stop, thief! Chor roko! Pakaro! Catch him!" When that pure devotee has this beautiful vision of Krishna's Nitya Leela, he starts to laugh. But when he loses that vision and that spurti disappears, he starts to cry. This is Vilap Kusumanjali. "Oh Krishna, you are the great jewel I had been seeking all my life. I had you in the hand, my hand, but now I have lost you again." He cries and cries in distress. "Oh Lord, where are you? Please respond to me." Then when Krishna appears again saying, "My devotee, here I am. I have heard your cries and I have come to relieve your suffering." Then the devotee begins to sing and he thinks, "Today I have become fulfilled," and begins to dance in ecstasy. All these internal moods are expressed externally without any concern for the outside world. He does not even notice whether people are laughing at him, praising him, offering him respect, or insulting him. Well, this is a little bit of the background to this verse in Uddhava Gita, where Krishna is explaining to the Uddhava the nature of the Premi Bhakta is that he starts dancing. It says he's unmad van. Unmad van nrityati. Nrityati means he dances. Van means possesses. Unmad, he possesses the qualities of complete craziness. Unmata. Unmad van, like we say, Bhagavan. Nrityati. So in his madness of love, and what is inducing him to dance and what is forcing him to sing out these names is not the external world or not the people in the external world, but he's gone beyond this world and he's entered the divine world of Spurti, Lila Spurti, and he's seeing the Lord, and the Lord's in a playful prank of stealing butter or Gopi's clothes, Gopi Vastaharana, and seeing that in his internal vision, he's relishing, and it increases his love by leaps and bounds, and various Anubhavas begin to seize his heart and spread throughout his body, and those bhavas, they just push him to dance, and he just shouts for joy, oh, chor, makanchor, 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 makanchor. And he's dancing around in front of his kutir saying, makanchor, makanchor, and people run, where? Where the thief, chor, chor, he's chor, chor, chor. And people run and say, where? And they look and they say, oh, that's Rasik Pagal. Don't pay any attention, that's just Rasik Pagal. He's lost in some inner ecstasy, as usual. Pay him no attention, he's a village madman. In other words, he's crossed beyond the pale of illusion that we're all wrapped up in. He's entered some divine, beautiful realm of sweet exchanges with the Lord. So behind this verse, there's this pastimes that Krishna's thinking about, that first they dance madly and chant out these names. First they have a spurti. First, at their level of prema, then they attain this spurti, Krishna appears to them. And then as a response to that appearance of Krishna in spurti or in darshan, then they become ecstatic. It stimulates their sthayi bhava, seeing Krishna. And then they respond to that stimulant by dancing madly and chanting whatever favorite name comes out. So that's in the heart of one who adopts such a transcendental vow, attachment for chanting the name of his most dear Lord arises and melts his heart. Now the Premi Bhakta rises above the condition of the mass of people, Lokabhaya. He doesn't care for public opinion. Beyond caring for their opinions and views, in a natural way, not out of pretense, he acts as if mad. Sometimes he bursts out laughing, and sometimes he sheds floods of tears. Sometimes in a loud voice he calls out to Bhagavan, and sometimes in a sweet voice he sings Bhagavan's glories. At other times when he perceives his beloved standing before his eyes, he even starts dancing in order to please Krishna. That's nice. Dancing to please Krishna. Everything we do is to please Krishna. Otherwise, why exist? Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a nice Bengali rendition of this verse. Evrate Krishna Nama Kirtana Kariya Jataraga Dravachitta Hasya Kandiya Chitkara Kariya Gai Lokabhaya Taji Evyavahare Bhai Preme Krishna Bhaji. Chanting Krishna's name according to this vow, my love for him will awaken and my mind will melt. I will laugh and cry, shout and sing without a care for the world. Oh, brother, when I worship Krishna in ecstatic love, this is the way I will behave. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is taking it that this is a future aspiration or attainment of the sadhaka who is yet to attain to prema. He's chanting Prem Nam, or at least Shuddha Nam, on his way to prema. And he thinks, yes, when I become a pure lover of God, then I will have such experiences of divine rapture and revelation, which will transport me beyond the mundane world that I'm trapped in. I'll no longer care about vox populi. and I'll dance with abandon. There's a nice commentary here we can see also. Devotees of Krishna always chant the auspicious names of Bhagavan. Krishna Sankirtan removes all anarthas and purifies the heart of lifetimes of sin. No more rebirth and all kinds of good fortune arises. All the sadhana that one needs to attain prema bhakti is transmitted into the heart simply by chanting the holy names. Very interesting. Krishna prema appears. One begins to relish the nectar of prema. One attains Sri Krishna. And finally, one attains coolness and purity through completely immersing himself in the nectarine ocean of eternal service. At this stage, through the essential function of Ladini Sara Vritti, Sri Krishna Sankirtan boundlessly increases the living entity's bliss. Now the living entity is eternally fixed in one of the rasas, Dasya Sakya Vatsalya Madhurya, and moment by moment he relishes complete nectar through an ever-fresh attachment for Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna's sweet pastimes appear in the devotee's heart, and he repeatedly relishes the sweetness of all of Krishna's qualities, such as his beauty. This ever-fresh sweetness astonishes the devotee and his heart melts. Sri Krishna Sankirtan Ki. If you're a little attentive, you would have understood that this particular paragraph, page 376 of this book, is actually a summary of the first verse of Shikshastakam, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. Because in that first verse, Chaito Dharpana Marjanam, it mentions seven treasures that one attains by chanting the holy name. And the treasures are rewarded to the chanter at different stages of his advancement in pure bhakti. And so the final treasure that one gets when it comes to bhava bhakti and prema bhakti in the progress of his nam bhajan is anandam buddhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamrita swadhanam, that he immerses himself in an ocean of bliss and he tastes nectar of joy at every moment, step after step. That's what it says here. He's fixed in a rasa, and moment by moment he relishes complete nectar through the ever-fresh attachment for Sri Krishna. While describing the glories of Sri Krishna Nam Sankirtan to Prakashananda Saraswati in Benares, Mahaprabhu said, "When I chant the name my guru gave me, it automatically makes my heart melt." Ishapuri gave him the name of Gopi Janavallabha. Claim Gopi Janavallabha as Swaha. 10-syllable Gopal mantra. No Krishna Govinda, only Gopi Janavallabha. So when Krishna, the mode of Radharani, separated from Krishna and Radha Bhav, when Lord Chaitanya is telling Prakashananda Sarasvati, "When I chant Gopi Janavallabha, I go crazy. My heart melts." So we can say, well, when I chant the name my guru gave me, it automatically makes my heart melt. So what name did our guru give us? He gave us Gopal Mantra, Kling Krishnaya Govindaya. He gave us Maha Mantra. And sometimes this name makes me dance. Like going right now, Chanari Krishna, you start dancing. It's practical. Sometimes this name makes me dance, sometimes it makes me laugh, and other times it makes me cry. So chant Hare Krishna and cry. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But chant Hare Krishna and cry also, that's another side. The other side of happiness is crying, sadness. This is the nature of the Maha Mantra. It makes Krishna Prema rise within whomever chants it. This is that verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Prema Udaya. It makes Krishna Prema rise within whomever chants it. Krishna Prema is the topmost goal. Everything else is insignificant in presence of Nam. The nature of Prema is that it gives rise to a restless heart. And a devotee is controlled by this restless nature. And being restless under the impulse of Krishna Prem, sometimes the devotee laughs, cries, and being maddened, starts dancing. In his commentary in this verse, Vishwanath writes that by chanting the holy name, the sadhaka experiences a variety of pastimes. Right? We say Nam Rup Guna Lila. The devotee experiences a variety of pastimes. They naturally appear in his heart. There's forced meditation and natural meditation. Forced meditation is that you forcefully try to remember Krishna's pastimes. It's called sadhana, smaranam. And natural meditation means that Krishna's pastimes remember you. They come to you. Bhakti Devi gives you that reward. She says, oh, you're such a good devotee. Your chanting is such first-class, high-class chanting. The pastimes of Krishna deserve to be displayed in your heart. Or I'll say rather, you deserve to have the pastimes of Krishna displayed in your heart. And then they come. Otherwise, we chant and then we reread some lila or pastime, then we close the book and we chant and we can think. And that thinking attracts the attention of the Lord. It attracts the attention of the Super Soul. Shrinvatam Swagata Krishna. Punya Shravana Kirtana. Vridyantakstoya Bhajrani Virunati Sritsutam. That the Super Soul Krishna becomes pleased with the sadhaka's attempt to hear his Harikata, to hear his Lila Kata. Then he cleanses the heart and allows that heart to capture some portions of Krishna's pastimes when we're trying to meditate on them. And eventually when the heart becomes so pure, then Krishna wants to come and play there. The heart becomes a playland of Krishna, playground. So that happens. We see that Devaki's heart became a playland of Krishna. First, many little pranksters were dancing there. The six sons of Kalanemi, they went there and kicked up a lot of dirt for 9 months, 10 months. So personification of Kam, Krodh, Lobh, Moha, Matsarya, they all came and danced around in her mind, and then they got released. I got liberated. So these little kitties, you know, they play around in our mind also, and they have to be liberated by chanting Nam. Then Balaram will come. And Balaram came, and then he set the stage of the Sandini Shakti. He set the Leela, it created a Leela Bhumi in the heart of Devaki. And then Krishna appeared. And so the same thing happens with the sadhaka, that he has to liberate so many demons from his heart before Balaram will fully manifest the Sandini Shakti there. Because until the Sandini Shakti manifests in the heart, no one will actually, the heart will not become a natural playground for Krishna's leelas to appear. Because prema and lust are, they don't go together. Pure love and greed don't go together. Pure love and envy don't go together. So therefore, one has to go. So this is taught by Devaki's delivery of the six children that were miscarriages, and then the seventh one was Balaram, and the eighth one was Krishna. So we'll have to go through this similar situation. We have to liberate all these children from our hearts. They're dancing there. Six little rascals. Little rascals show. Little rascals show is going on inside our heart. And when we kick out this greed and anger and lust and envy, then Balaram will come in the heart, which means our heart will become very soft. That means bhava. Bhava And then at the level of bhava, then Krishna is attracted by love. Bhava grahi janardan. The sadhaka experiences a variety of pastimes as they naturally appear in his heart. When this happens, he laughs when he hears Sri Krishna's joking words with the Braja Devis during a Rasleela, or in the pastime of stealing butter. And he weeps when his vision of a pastime, Leela Sporti, ceases. He thinks, "Oh, I have relished the nectar of your sweetness, my Lord, only once. When will I attain that sweet ambrosia again?" Lamenting like this, the Premi Bhakta rolls on the ground, and heaving long sighs, he falls unconscious. Later, when he again sees Bhagavan everywhere, he is overwhelmed by happiness and becomes maddened. A devotee who performs such transcendental activities is devoid of bodily needs. So this is commentary of Vishwanath, Lokumbhaya. These are very far away from any, very interesting translation. Unmadvanrityati. When one becomes maddened in Krishna Prema, he becomes far away from lokik concerns, lokik vichar, lokika. Lokik or lokika means of this lok. So there's a broader definition of that word and then a localized definition. So the broader definition is there's this bhuloka, bhurbhuva, swaloka, swargaloka, bhuloka. It means the planet, loka means the people, and loka means physical concerns. So lokabhaya, Vishnu is taking it that when a devotee is absorbed in the madness of prema and dancing and chanting his favorite names, he becomes unconcerned with physical needs. He forgets his bodily needs, eating, sleeping, drinking, all these things. He doesn't know. Very nice thing. It says, he's devoid of bodily needs. This is how he interprets lokabhaya. Bhaya means external. The body becomes external to him because he's existing on the soul platform. He's existing in a siddhadeha, which is his antar-chintadeha, his antas-chintadeha, in his consciousness, a deep meditation within himself, beyond the needs of the external body. The external body needs sleep and food and all these things. But the siddhadeya doesn't require. So through the means or the vehicle of the siddhadeya, he enters into Krishna's leela and has spurti, leela spurti. And there he's so absorbed in relishing a leela and the humor of it or the sweetness of it that he laughs and cries and he becomes totally oblivious to his bodily needs. He doesn't know what's going on out there. It's just like if you're sleeping, and you're physically sleeping in the bed, your body is telling you, I have to pass urine. But you're not conscious of that because you're off in dreamland. As soon as you wake up, what do? You go to the bathroom. Because when you wake up, your body says, "Oh, I'm glad you came back. I have some demands here. There's some bodily needs you have." But you're oblivious not aware of your bodily needs when you were in another state of consciousness called unconsciousness, swapna. There's jagrata and swapna and turiya, susupti and turiya, these four states of subtle experience, or three of subtle and one of gross. So it's similar, something like that. The Premi Bhakta is, he exists in another level, another layer of consciousness, transcendental consciousness, spiritual consciousness. So we can hardly even imagine we can somewhat imagine what it's like. It's like we sleep, our body sleeps and our subtle body dreams and experiences, and we're sleeping. But for the premi, he's awake, he's conscious, he's not sleeping, but his gross body appears to be inert or sleeping, and he's fully conscious and fully awake in his siddhadeya. When he loses that spurti or vision and he comes back to the gross body, then he, oh, I saw such a nice thing. It almost sounds analogous to like having a dream. You're sleeping and having a dream. Oh, it's a very nice dream. And I'm so rich, and I'm riding big car, and I'm enjoying nicely. And then you come back, oh, you lament, oh, I was having such a nice dream. Why did I lose that dream? It was really wonderful there. So it's similar, it sounds similar. But both experiences, whether you're awake or sleeping, it's both sleeping. Prabhupada said, when we're so-called awake, it's also a sleeping state, because we're ignorant of the spiritual dimension. Daytime, night dream and daydream, right? So this is the point. The highest state of consciousness. There's a couple more verses where he's discussing something of the practice. Or this is verse 12. He mentions here, in a series of verses, how to attain prem seva of the Lord and Mandri Bhav. These are sevas, because this is called Sambhog chapter. Sambhog, prem nam at the level of Sambhog. And Ashtiyam Sarana. So of course when one becomes a Manjari, then they'll have to do something. So what will they do? So in the various books by the Acharyas, they give us some idea what are the job requirements and what are some of the work opportunities over there. And we can think whether these type of occupations suit our interest. So this is the Sakis help dress Radharani. This is Prem Seva, the Manjaris. This is described in Stavavali. Spuran Mukta Gunjamani Sumanasam Hara Rachane Mudendra Leka Me Rachayatu Tata Shikshna Vidim Yata Te Sankliptair Dayata Sarasi Madhya Sarane Sputam Radhakrishna Vayam Abhijano Bhushayati To. May Indu Leka Saki, who is one of the Ashtasakis, as Guru, mercifully teach me the art of stringing very beautiful necklaces and garlands composed of pearls, jewels, kunja berries, and flowers. With these necklaces and garlands, I can decorate Radha and Krishna for their pleasure as they are seated on the jeweled throne in the middle of Radhakund. This, of course, happens after in Madhyan Leela. Well, it could happen also in evening time. But after Radha and Krishna bathe in Radhakund, then they have to get redressed and ornamented again. So the mantris will be there, and the sakis will be there, learning an apprenticeship under the sakis, ashta sakis. So this is, when will Induleka Saki joyfully teach me how to make necklaces with pearls, kunja berries, and flowers? When will I adorn Radha and Krishna with the decorations I made in the midst of the bower house at Radhakund? Dayata Sarasi Madhya Sarane. Well, that's interesting. Here Radhakund is referred to as Sarasi, in the middle of Radhakund. Dayata, my beloved, Dayata Sarasi Sarane. So in the middle of Radhakund, of course, implies that they're in Anangamandri's Kunj. Or it could mean just anywhere in the forests around Radhakund also. So in this particular text, Das Goswami, he's thinking that I'm Tulsi Manjari. And he's revealing his heart's desire to serve Krishna and Radha and Krishna. Decorating them in the kunja situated in the middle of Radhakund. Radha Sakis have a variety of natures with which they nourish many kinds of rasas. These Sakis are proficient in knowledge of their own rasa. And sometimes they learn different arts from other Sakis. By teaching all the Paliyadasis herself Sri Radha makes him expert in her service. So here it's telling that the Paliyadasis means the protected maidservants, the Sakhi Kinkaris, the Manjaris Kinkaris. They will actually be trained by Radharani in so many arts. And then Radharani, in some cases, she will send the Manjaris to other Sakhis to learn. She may send the Manjari to Vishakha to learn music, or to Tungavidya to learn poetry, because they're expert in these things. And the expertise of the various gopis is mentioned in Radhakrishna Ganadesh Deepika. It's amazing the talents and skills that the Asasakis have. They have quite a variegated portfolio. I mean, they know boating. I mean, some of the Sakis, they know the art of navigation, nautical science, how to navigate a sailboat, and they know how to train cocks to fight roosters, and they know how to make sew clothes, and they know magic. They can do magic and all kinds of amazing things, and they know the art of dyeing clothes and dyeing jewels different colors, and it's quite amazing what they know. And they're just simple village girls, and there's no technical schools here. There's no schools of higher education and all these kind of diversified educational services. But Radharani herself is a personification of the 64 Akalas. She has learned all the arts from herself. She's self-taught. She's a self-taught master of all the arts. And then she, in turn, has trained up so many Sakis, who are her expansions, to be proficient in one or two or three or four or five or six of these arts. The art of telling what someone's thinking, what is someone thinking in their mind. The art of telling, you know, one gopi is expert in making, she can taste different foods and tell the ingredients. You can give her any food preparation, she can taste it and tell you what's in it. And like this, they're very, very talented. So it appears that the Manjaris, when they become Radharani's maidservants, they get trained by the mistress, by the Swamini. If someone gets hired, he works for some rich man as a servant. Occasionally, that rich man, the master, he may train his servants. Now, this is what I want you to do. You have to drive my car and do this and that. And so he trains them so that they're qualified servants. So when the newcomer Sakis come, Manjaris come into Radharani's service, and she may personally train them in various arts, and that's being indicated here. So Raghunath Das Goswami is in the mood of his Manjari form, Kinkari, Tulsi Manjari, Rati Manjari. And this particular Sakhi Induleka is very expert at stringing necklaces. Because it's not as easy as it sounds. It's, oh, stringing a necklace, big deal, so what? But there's an art to it, to make it look attractive, and what size things go together, what colors go together. So she's enlisting herself under the tutelage of Induleka, because Induleka is expert at making necklaces. Because they're using pearls, they're using jewels, and they're using gunja berries, and making garlands of flowers. You see sometimes in the Krishna Balaram temple, some ladies, they come and they make a garland, they pick up some marigolds and they string them. And then they see some other ladies making really elaborate garlands, and they go like different layers. And then she says, how do you make it go around, like, you know, your flowers are going like this, and then you have all these flowers going in a circle. You know, usually the flowers like this, and all of a sudden you have eight flowers. Oh, well, then you have to do it like this or like that. Or how do you, like, one of the first things you learn in making garlands is how to make a tail. Like, there's a garland's like this, and there's a tail in the middle. So that can be tied on, or you can, but, because usually people take a needle and thread and go like this. But if you take two pieces of thread, You have to take two pieces of thread, then you put them through the needle, and you take two pieces of thread. Then at the end, you can make this tail and the garland, you know, like this. So there's like tricks of the trade. So one sukhi will sit down with some sukhi that's expert at making flower garlands, and she'll learn. So everything, there's a science, there's an art of making flower garlands. So these fine arts of pleasing Radharani and pleasing Krishna, they're taught by parampara. And we see that in Krishnamurti temple. I've watched some lady comes and some ladies who make fantastic garlands, amazing, because of experience and inspiration and training. So as I often tell my students, always be a student and always be a teacher. Always being a student means you should always be in such a humble state of mind that you can learn and receive from everyone. And always being a teacher means that you care enough to help someone. You care. There's two types of bhav. Teacher bhav and student bhav. You may be quite learned, but there's a certain amount of compassion that's required to be a teacher. So to care enough to want to help someone, that's the teacher, the real teacher, because he's not paid. And then the student is humble enough and submissive enough to hear and learn from his environment, from the people around him, from his own body. Our own body is speaking to us also. But when we're proud, we can't even hear the voice of our own body. So just imagine being enrolled in Radharani's school. Oh, who's your teacher? Radharani. That's nice. What are you learning in school? According to Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika, Induleka, she knows, she's learned in the scriptures dealing with snake charming mantras and in Samudrika Shastra. She is expert in stringing necklaces and garlands, drawing pictures, decorating the teeth. Well, that's interesting. We've heard of decorating your nose and your eyebrows and your eyelashes. But decorating your teeth with designs drawn on your teeth. Now that's pretty clever. Induleka is expert in stringing necklaces and garlands, drawing pictures, decorating the teeth, gemology, weaving various kinds of cloth, and writing auspicious mantras. She's also expert in generating mutual attraction between Radha and Krishna. In the middle of Radhakund, there's a beautiful Vilas Kunj named Madana Vatika. And Radha Madha perform amorous sports there, Rasa Vilas Krida. Radha Madha's necklaces, pearls, and gunja berries, they break and they scatter during their intimate exchanges. The pran sakis, manjaris, they do not hesitate to enter the kunj, even when Radha and Krishna are in such intimate association. And then they rearrange Radha Madha's clothes and ornaments. Srila Das Goswami is praying to Induleka, who is expert in all these services, to impart knowledge of how to accomplish all these services. By their skill in stringing necklaces and garlands, the Palyadasi Mandris have their desires to please Sri Radha Madha fulfilled. So that's something that goes on there. We'll continue to be a student all the way up, even to Boma Vrindavan. I won't stop. We'll be carrying notebooks around with us for lifetimes. And we'll have notebooks in the spiritual world made out of lotus petals. And our pens will be peacock feathers. And the ink will be liquid kunkum or kasturi ink. And we'll write, keep notes about whatever we learn. Of course, probably in that level, there's not too many notebooks because I suppose that Sakis are Shruti Dharas. So whatever they hear from their teachers, they'll remember. So there'll be no need for notebooks up there. So there's a whole series of a few verses from 19 on we can discuss tomorrow, which further elaborates the actual practice. Because after that, the balance of verses in this chapter are all about Prem Sambhog, which is love and union, and the different types of union that Radha and Krishna have. And that, of course, is experienced by the sadhaka, who's on a level of prema. But this selection of verses is for the sadhakas to come to the level of prema. These two aspects are woven in this chapter. And these are like the direction of our bhajan is going in this direction. So even as Raghunuga sadhakas, we hear about these services, and that by hearing in general increases attraction to any subject. If you hear about something with interest, if you have some interest and you hear about something, then that increases your attraction and your interest in that subject. So especially at the level of prema and premnam bhajan, one is extremely interested in serving and loving Krishna in a particular way. So they want to know, all right, well, what, as I said, what are the job openings? What will I do when I attain prema as a mandri? And that's all part of the sadhana. It is to be fully conversant with the sadhya. What is the sadhya? Okay, we say the goal is Krishna prema. Well, that we learn the first, before we even join. When we're five years old, we learn about that sadhya. When we're 5 years old, we learn that the goal of life is happiness, and happiness means love, and love means happiness. So our aim and ambition is to find happiness, love, from mother, from brother, from sister, friends, etc. So then, coming into the spiritual line of thought, it's simply dovetailing the same propensity that the living entity has from the time he's a child. Love man, love mother, love man, love God. The bottom line is love. Because our nature is to love. The living entity's nature is to love. He's a unit of love. Love means seva. So every living being, every unit of consciousness is a loving unit. So we love money, or we love Maya, or we love Krishna. Love we must. Intense passion, intense craving, intense absorption in something. That's kind of natural. So now, if it just... love has to take some definition, has to take some shape, has to take some expression. Love is the intangible feeling within the heart, but then it expresses itself in particular shape and form. So that's the elaboration of the sadhya. The goal is Krishna prema. Well, what type of prema? And what type of form? And what type of lord? And what type of dham? And what type of framework of expression? And what type of sevas? These are all part and parcels of any loving expression. Who am I loving? Who am I expressing my love toward? In what context? In what kshetra? In what field? In what way? These are the same. So the same thing. Well, if I become a kinkri, where will I be a kinkri? With whom will I be a kinkri? And what will I do as a kinkri mandri? And why? And what, with what mood and what feeling? So that is all part of the study as sadhana, as Raghunuga sadhana. This all comes under Shravana Dasha. Hearing about the sadhya. That's why in a level of sadhana bhakti, in Anartha Nivritti, one of the anarthas in chanting the holy name is Sadhana Sadhya Vibram. Sadhana Sadhya Vibram, to be bewildered and unsure and unclear about the method of sadhana and the goal of sadhana. So therefore, a clear definition and understanding of the sadhya is almost more important than the sadhana. Like first know where you want to go, then figure out how to get there. So, we'll go there by plane. Well, where are you going? I'm going to Barsana. Well, it's not such a... Barsana, I don't think you need an airplane to go to Barsana. It's only 1 hour, 2 hour walk. 4 hour walk. Acha. Oh, so first, where do you want to go? Then figure out the means to get there. Or different means. Oh, I want to go to Prema. Well, how do you get there? Well, you can get there by Vaidhi Sadhana. You can get there by Raghunuga Sadhana. Acha. Oh, what kind of Prema? Vraja Prema. Oh, Vraja Prema. That you can't get there by Vaidhi Sadhana. You have to practice Raghunuga Sadhana. I mean, Vaidhi coming to Raghunuga Sadhana. Acha. Well, how? So this is establishment. That's how it starts. It starts off with sadhya. Who do you want to love? Vishnu? Yourself? Okay, then you know the sadhana for that. Everyone knows the sadhana for loving themselves. And then, oh, you want to love Vishnu. You want to love Narayan or Shiva or Krishna. Okay, that's a good start.